inner essence of Yom Kippur. Our teacher, Rabbi Baruch Shalom Halevi Ashlag, the firstborn son of Rabbi Yehuda Lev Ashlag, would rise in the very early hours of the morning on Yom Kippur and study a portion from the Zohar with his father's commentary, the Perusha Sulam. The portion he would study was on the part of the high priest's role in the temple service on Yom Kippur. As you may know, this service is unique in all the events of the year, and that it was on this day that the high priest would enter the Holy of Holies, where he would pray to God for the welfare of the people, uttering the inevitable four-letter name of God. But the Yom Kippur service has other unique aspects to it. One of them is the very specific sacrifices that were made by the high priest himself, atoning for himself, his household, the priests, and the whole house of Israel. The concept of atoning is not a concept that we are actually familiar with in our daily lives. The name of the day is Yom Kippur, the Day of Atonement. But what does that actually mean? According to the dictionary, atonement means making amends, making reparation, or expiating sin. It seems to imply paying a little in acknowledgement of the wrong we have done, and thus earning forgiveness. The Zohar teaches the concept of the day in a parable. Once there was a king who was angry with his son, so he invited the minister of judgment to come and make judgment on his son. When the son saw this minister arrive at the palace, he straightway understood what he had come for. So the son went quickly to his father and became reconciled with his father. To celebrate the reconciliation, the father ordered a superb banquet to be prepared for himself and his son, but he did not want this minister to know about it, because if this minister were to take part in this banquet, it would spoil things. So he told the master of the household to prepare a small meal for himself and the minister, so the minister would think that he had partaken of a feast with the king and would be appeased and go away peacefully. Now, we mentioned earlier that there are very specific sacrifices related to the atonement made by the high priest. Now, without going into the issues of animal rights and sacrifices, we can look at the energy implied by the sacrifices and understand quite a lot about what atonement and forgiveness of Yom Kippur actually means. The high priest would ritually bathe and dress not in his usual clothes, but in simple white. And they would bring before him two he-goats, on which he would draw lots. One he-goat would be sacrificed for God, and the other he-goat would be sent into the wilderness for Azazel. The first one, which he sacrificed for God, was atoning for the sins of the children of Israel. But he would then confess the sins of the children of Israel on the other one, and send the other one into the wilderness, into the place of Azazel, where it would be thrown off the cliff. In the Zohar, Rabbi Abba asks Rabbi Shimon bar Yochai, the author of the Zohar, what on earth is all this about? And what does all this have to do with Yom Kippur? Rabbi Shimon replies by telling us that the energy of the sacrifices of these two goats is similar to the energy connected with two of Joseph's brothers, Shimon and Levi. You may remember from the Bible story that when Joseph's brothers first came down to Egypt to buy food, they did not, of course, recognize Joseph. He, however, knew them straight away, and he took Shimon and bound him in custody before letting the rest of the brothers go free. Rabbi Shimon tells us that the reason he did this is because the soul of Shimon in particular came from the aspect of strict, unforgiving judgment, what we would call today strict karma. The energy of Shimon is that when a person does wrong, he should pay for it. The Zohar teaches that it was he who first stirred the other brothers up against Joseph when he noticed him approaching them just before they finally cast him into the pit. Levi, his brother Levi, also has a soul which originates from the side of judgment, but not in quite such a demanding fashion. Nevertheless, when Shimon and Levi combined together, as they did when they took vengeance on the men of Shechem for the kidnapping and rape of their sister Dinah, they were quite a deadly combination. So what did God do? In order to prevent Shimon and Levi joining up, he took the tribe of Levi for himself. That is to say that all the work of the sanctuary and later of the temple was undertaken by the tribe of Levi, of whom, of course, the Kohanim, the priests, form just one family. Energetically wise, the Zohar continues, if the judgment of Levi combines with the middle line of Joseph, then that can overcome the destructive aspect of the very harsh, strict karma demanded by Shimon. If we go back now to Yom Kippur, the Zohar puts all this together and explains that the energy of these two he-goats is exactly equivalent to the energy of Shimon and Levi. One he-goat was thus taken for God, and the other was taken to appease the strict judgment energy demanded by strict karma. You might be wondering what all this has to do with us. The issue is that in actual fact, we do not need to forgive somebody unless they have actually hurt us in some way. It could be financial hurt, it could be physical, it could be emotional. It's hard to forgive because our natural sense of justice opposes forgiveness. Our natural sense of right and wrong says he did something wrong, he should pay for it. He should pay for what he did. The Shimon in us wakes up and he's angry. But if the person comes and makes a sort of token payment and says, I'm sorry, I didn't realise. I didn't see the implications of my actions at the time. I see that I have hurt you and I apologise. He's not actually paying for the hurt that he's done, but he is making an appeasement. He is making a token payment. He's activating the side of atonement. He's activating the side of Levi with the side of Joseph within him, and that gives us the opportunity to forgive. Likewise, we too need to ask forgiveness. We have behaved in ways we knew that were wrong or simply made mistakes we realise when we look back. These sins, errors or deliberate transgressions in our relationships between ourselves and our Creator cause a barrier between us and our Creator. The strict judgment, the energy that came into the world on Rosh Hashanah, was somewhat confused, says the Zohar, by the blowing of the shofar on the New Year, but in fact has not gone away. Now we need to send it right away by asking forgiveness, by making the token payment which will appease it. On the day of Yom Kippur, we do this in many ways. And one of the ways that I'd like to look at now is the issue of the confessions. What is very specific about the prayers on Yom Kippur is that on every single service of the day, we have long lists of confession. Confession is the first and most important step on making amends. If we are unaware of what we have done, we cannot rectify it. Simply saying sorry blithely and carrying on does not help. If we examine the content of the confessions, they are mostly quite subtle infractions of our relationships between each other. The holiness and the atonement of Yom Kippur operates for the infractions between a person and God. But for those between a man and his fellow human, this cleansing of Yom Kippur will only work if we have actually appeased our fellow first. So therefore, before Yom Kippur, we do need to put aside our natural reluctance in these last days before the holiest day of the year, and ask forgiveness from anyone we have wronged, and make what amends we can. And on Yom Kippur itself, activate the levy within us, asking forgiveness through the confession, not only for ourselves, but for all our fellow humans, as all humanity is bound up with each other. Then the strict judgment of Shimon is appeased, and the justice minister of this parable turns into a defender, and the world is cleansed for another year. May we all have a new year filled with the blessings of peace, health, love, and compassion.